Tovot. It's a pleasure to address you just feet away from Bet Kochin V'Tifarteinu. I'd like to first introduce myself. My name is Meir Gabriel Elbaz, and I'm from Queens, New York. Many of you might know me from Great Neck, SBM, Torah Or, among other places. Today, I'm actually here b'shlichut of a wonderful Mossad, LCM, Lander College for Men, Beis Medrash of Talmud. So, Be'ezat Hashem, hopefully, to say dvarim mo'ilim, things that are, hopefully, you'll be able to get chizuk from. And certainly, I'd be remiss not to say that the shiur is b'shutov, the Rosh Shiva, Rav Morad HaNatrag, Agaon Rabbi Aharon Bina, and his wonderful staff. And I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to address you. I'm here today with my friend and colleague, Rav Dotan Arusi, who's here to speak to people one-on-one after the Shir Mirtz Hashem. So I'll try to make this quick. I don't want to take too much of your time. But I do, Be'ezat Hashem, want to stimulate your brain and your neshama. Among other things, I have a zechut to sit on a bedin tzedek of dinei mamonot. Now, as you might know, there are different kinds of, there's only one kind of bedin, but different batedinim deal with different kinds of matters. There's some batedin that focus on financial matters, others that focus on marital matters. So I sit on a bedin that primarily focuses on dinei mamonot. Now, although every bedin case is unique, but this one, I want to share a real live Bet Din case that came before us. This actually happened a few years ago, and it was one of the most interesting cases I have ever presided over. And I want to take you through the process of how to get to a... Now, just like you know, in other matters of halakha, there's something called a psak halakha, which is a halakhic ruling. Mutar, asur, yatza, lo yatza, l'chatechila, bedi'avad, sha'ata dachak. In dinei mamonot, it works a little bit different. In dinei mamonot, you have to really be very careful because over there it's chayav, zakai, is he chayav to pay money? They have to be very careful. Dayanim, like the Gemara tells us, that a dayan, when he's done din Torah, he has like a sword by his neck. Taking the person's money away, shelo kedin Torah, is a terrible avon. So you have to be very careful. I will present you with the case. I want to hear some of what you have to say, how you would adjudicate it, and then I'll tell you la'anyu da'ati what we said in the bedin kefidin Torah. And the story was like this. There's a place not far from here. It's called Bela'az Town. Yadua? Town? Town. Rechov Yafo, Ben Yehuda, all the, town. Yeah? So, there was a bacher, not very different than you, who was learning in yeshiva at the time, in Yerushalayim, not here. And he decided that night to go out with his friends for dinner in one of the fancy restaurants in town. So, beseder, they're going. I don't remember exactly when this was, but you know, in Eretz Yisrael, intentions always run high. But there are different times, different kufos, when intentions are higher, and people are, you know, more alert to their surroundings and all sorts of attacks, baraminan, and stuff like that. So it was, I don't remember exactly the year, maybe it was 14 or 15 or so, 2014 or 15. So, what happened was, this kid, along with his friends, arrive at this fancy restaurant in town, and they see that there's a long line out the door. Long line out the door, and this kid was a little ADD, which means he couldn't, you know, he couldn't sit still and whatever. Let me tell you something else about this kid. Without getting into what Aida he was from, he was Faradi, but without getting into which community he was necessarily, he was about 16 or 17, and he looked very, very predominantly Middle Eastern. Very dark skin, very dark hair. He had like a little bit of a shaved beard, whatever it is. So he looked, he had this very pronounced Middle Eastern look about him. So he sees the line. He wanted to go ask the maitre d', the host, how long it would be until the table would be available. So what does he do? Because he's a little bit ADD, he doesn't walk kmo ben adam into the restaurant or whatever it is. This guy decides to break in a mad dash, running into the restaurant, running towards the maitre d' to ask him when a table is going to be available. As this was happening, there was another guy sitting at the table having dinner with his family, sitting at the table, and he's watching this unfold. He sees this kid, very pronounced Middle Eastern look, with his hands in his pockets, jumping up and down like this, you know, fidgeting, and then running into the restaurant towards the maitre d'. Put yourself in his shoes. What did he do? Huh? He jumped up. And he said in Hebrew, Mechabel! He started screaming, there's a terrorist. He jumped up. He tackled the guy. Imamish body slammed the guy on the floor. Now, in the meantime, nobody's sticking around to take selfies. Everybody, in the meantime, what do you think they're doing? Everybody ran for their lives. At the end, he explains to him, Ani lo mechabel, ani, you know, he told him, he's an American kid, but, you know, he's a little jumpy, whatever. So he apologized profusely. The guy from the tackle guy, what do you, tight end. Anyway, the kids are, so he apologized, and he said, I apologize, and whatever, mechila, mechila. Okay, they kiss, they hug, mechila, everything's fine. The only person who wasn't fine was the restaurant owner. He says, the whole restaurant emptied out. There are about 50 tables that were packed with patrons, with diners, sitting at the table. Everybody ran. The people aren't coming back. So now, they were talking among themselves, and the case, actually, they were from Jews, so the case came to Beit Din. Now what do you do? The restaurant owner says, I admire your courage and your heroism for doing what you did, but at the end of the day, it wasn't a terrorist attack, it was fake news. And now, you owe me all of the, you know, all of the meals that people now ditch. They ran away, they're not coming back to pay. Most, if you're Erlich, okay, but many people won't come back to pay. So he wants all the lost money for that, plus the labor and prorated rent for the rest of the night. Came out, the tvi'ah, the claim came out to be between $15,000 and $20,000 just from that night. So he took both of them to Beit Din. Both the jumpy kid, the fake terrorist, and the, you know, we'll call it the, for lack of a better term, the good Samaritan, who jumped up and tackled the guy, he took them both to Beit Din, and he says, I don't know which one of you is Chayav, but one of you is Chayav, you got to pay me for that $15,000 to $20,000, they made a cheshbon exactly how much it was, because of the nizik, because of the damages that you inflicted on me that night. That case came before Beit Din. Rabotai, put on your frocks and your up hats and take your gavels and tell me what you think Din Torah should be. Okay? Any kivun. Who should be chayav? Is it the jumpy kid? Is it the good Samaritan? Is it both? Is it neither? And most importantly, not just what the halakha is, but like in any aspect of halakha, but especially in Choshen Mishpat, the why. You have to be lomed davar mitoch davar. You have to be medameh milta lemilta. You have to compare one thing to another. Bring me ra'ayot from Shas and Poskim about this. What do you think the halakha should be? The Gemara says, Rabotai, all the way at the end of Masechet Baba Batra. It's the last Mishnah of Masechet Baba Batra. Harotzeh shiyachkim ya'asok bedinei mamonot. A person who wants to sharpen his mind. All of Torah sharpens the mind. But the thing that sharpens the mind the most is dinei mamonot. Monetary law. So, any thoughts? Jump in. Don't be shy. Talk to me.
As from the onset, as a dayan, do you?
And do me a favor. Do me a favor. When you talk, just introduce yourself for a second. Your name and where you're from. Michael Levy, Grant Neck, New York. Daber.
From the onset, as a dayan, do you try to start off the pshara before you have to even enter into a psak? Do
so
you
now,
want to make a compromise? You want them to come to something like an arbitration as beforehand? Is that how, what is the dayan first thing?
So we don't think like that in the shtar borerut, which means there's both parties have to sign a binding document of arbitration, because otherwise it's not, since you know the Beit Din doesn't really have any legal power, any legal jurisdiction, so it would be a waste of everybody's time for the dayanim to sit down if they didn't sign a shtar borerut, because then each, speak a little Yiddish, each Baal Din could fife on the Beit Din. They could say, you know, jump in a lake. They don't have to listen unless you sign a shtar borerut. In the shtar borerut, in this binding document of arbitration, it says that they accept upon themselves Pesak Din of the Bedin, Hen Ledin, Hen Nifshara. Now, Lalacha, Maran writes in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to just jump into a pshara because that's cheap. You don't need dayanim for a pshara. Anytime you don't know the halacha, hey, wait, I have a good idea. Let's make a pshara. Sometimes halacha doesn't warrant a pshara. Sometimes it does. There's a shutarivash that Maran brings down that when the dayanim really can't figure it out or when it's complicated, it's a pshara is a compromise or a settlement. You don't just jump to, this is not, you know, the American system or, you know, insurance companies. Okay, let's just make a settlement. No, you have to figure out what din Torah is. So if it's a pshara krova ladin, which means that it sometimes you'll have a settlement that is close to what the din obligates, that sometimes will be mutar, even without being amit so much. But in general, you try to find out the din. So does anybody have a kivun? Who should be chayav? Who should be patur? And why? Yeah, go ahead.
Yaakov from Green Neck.
Yeah?
So similarly, you think that the mazik is the person type of guy because he's the only one who had any... any concerns of the guy who looked Middle Eastern, nobody else was bothered by him, and the one who said, got scared and ran away.
I don't know if nobody else was bothered by him, but the Good Samaritan was the guy who, you know, sounded the alarm.
Exactly, so he's the one who did cause everyone to run up and leave.
So you're saying he should be the one to be chayav because he's the one who actually sounded the alarm. And what are you going to tell me? It's nezek bedibur, right? It's just he didn't do any physical damage. He just, over here, just did verbal damage. But I ask you a question. In halacha, what's the status of verbal damage in halacha? If you don't touch a person and you just verbally cause damage, is that something that a person can be chayav for or not?
No.
Bevadai sheken. If you look in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Shin Pevav, Marana Shulchan Aruch and Dina Degarmi, anybody learn Baba Kama and Baba Mtziah? Comes up many times. We know that in Choshen Mishpat, Grama, indirect damage, is patul, is exempt. But garmi, which is, there's six way machloket rishonim to differentiate between grama and garmi. Now, garmi, there are many examples of what a garmi is, but Maran HaShulchan Aruch, right in the beginning of Siman Shin Pevav, you know the garmi, writes that there are certain situations where a person can be chayav for verbal damages. For instance, let me give you an example. We know, the Gemara tells us, Hamocher shtar chov lechavero vechazar umchalo machul, which means, if I have a document of debt, I have a document that, let's say, Arya here owes me money, which means that I have a shiabud, I have a lien on his property for the amount of money that he owes me. Now, let's say, for whatever reason, I sell this document, this, you know, this deed, to Michael over here. Yeah, I sell it to him, which means I no longer have a shiabud, I cannot collect the money because I don't have the shtar anymore. I sold it to Michael. The halacha is, when I have a chov, when I have a, somebody owes me money, a debt that somebody owes to me, am I allowed to be mochel the chov? Can I absolve the debt? Sure, I can tell the person you're not chayav to pay me. What happens after I sell the deed to Michael? Am I allowed to be mochel? The Gemara says, yes I can. How does that work? Hare, I sold him the money. What does that mean? I sold him the deed, and then I could be mochel, which means, what did I do basically? I sold him the shtar, I took money from him, and then I absolved the Arya from paying me, which means, what did he just pay for?
Nothing.
A piece of paper that's worthless. The Gemara explains the mechanics of that, because I still have a shi'abud. I still have a lien on him, which even if I sell the paper, I still hold on to. Nevertheless, even though I do that, now, when I'm mochel achov, when I absolve a debt, what kind of damage is that? Physical or verbal?
Verbal.
Not only that, it doesn't even have to be verbal. Mechila balev, shma mechila. Most poskim hold, also kedat manan shulchan aruch, that even if you're mochel achov balev, even in your heart, you don't even have to speak it, it's machul. Nevertheless, even though it's a verbal damage, he still can come b'ta'anot on me and say, you have to pay me. You sold me something, you sold me a lemon. Now I can't use it to collect, you still have to pay. That, the Shulchan Aruch says, is a verbal kind of damage that a person's chayav. Just like, what are you going to say? Lehavdil elef lafei avdalot. Even in American law, although the American Constitution does support the First Amendment, which is freedom of speech, but you're not allowed to use your freedom of speech in a situation where it causes clear and present danger. Which means, there's case law about it also, screaming fire in a packed movie theater. Can you do that under American law? But it's just words, freedom of speech. Why can't you do that? Because your words cause clear and present danger, and therefore you have to curb your words in that situation. So to over here, لَهَبْدِينَ أَنْفَ الْفَابْدَلُوتِ بِدِينَا تُرَىٰ, your words can cause damage. So what are you saying over here? That the good Samaritan who jumped up and said, مِخَبَيْلِ, his words cause damage. Now, let me throw you a curveball. Ready? When a person damages, but it's an onus, it's an extenuating circumstance, a circumstance beyond his control. Is a person chayav, is a person liable for damages that he inflicts, even when there's an onus, yes or no? Yes. Makor? Huh? Oh, Yafeh, what's your name? John, from where? Very nice. So now, there's a Mishnah in the third Perek of Baba Kama. Adam mu'ad la'olam. Ben be'onis, ben be'ratzon, ben shogeg, ben mezid, ben a'er, ben yashin. Maran ha'shulchan aruch n'chosh mishpat. Siman shin ayin chet brings down this halacha that no matter what a person does, if a person inflicts damage, he's chayav. Even if he didn't mean to, it's an onis, doesn't matter. Now, the Rama, in that very first halacha in Siman shin ayin chet, the Rama brings down, Ela im ken hu onis gamur. Unless it's an onis gamur, a complete onis. Now there's different kinds of onasim. I didn't mean to. It was an accident. Chayav. But if it was a complete onis, the shop on the spot says, Maran disagrees with that also. The Rambam and Maran hold that even onis gamur yuchayav. But fast forward to the Shach. In Siman Shin Pei Vav, Saif Katan Vav, the Shach brings down, that's all by physical damage. By physical damage, the halacha is that onis is going to be chayav. Whether or not onis gamur, that's machloket Maran v'Rama. What about by verbal damages? What about by dina de garmi? What's the halacha if a person does this? Well, I mean, there's different kinds of dina de garmi, but what happens if a person damages in this garmi way, verbally, but it was an onis? You think this guy who was sitting at the table? Let me ask you a question. When he sounded the alarm and he yelled terrorist, was it legitimate or illegitimate?
He thought it was legitimate, but it wasn't.
Now, let's think about it another way. If it was really a terrorist and he didn't sound the alarm, now let's say he wouldn't be chayav for what happened, but if he knew it was really a terrorist and he didn't sound the alarm, would he be partially accountable for what happened? You better believe it. That means when he sounded the alarm, even though it was a false alarm, it was legitimate. Ein lecha onis gadol mizeh. The Shach, Siman Shin Pei Vav, Saif Katan Vav, writes, there's a machloket between the Maharshal and the Ramban, whether Dina de Garmi is the Oraita or the Rabbanan. The Ramban holds it's Mida Oraita. The Shach, by the way, one of the only Acharonim that you'll find, usually Acharonim, are very, very hesitant to argue on Rishonim. Very hesitant. Except for the Shach. Ooh, wah. You look in the Shach in Choshen Mishpat, Rav Chele. There's two portions of Shulchan Aruch that the Shach wrote on. Anybody know what they were? Yoreh De'ah and Choshen Mishpat. Yeah? Or HaChaim. And Ibn Ezra he didn't write on. But the Shach in Yoreh De'ah is a little bit more, you know, toned down in terms of Rishonim. But you look in Shachs in Choshen Mishpat, it's very long ones. Long, 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 long. He argues on Rishonim left and right. Mamash, he's an Acharon, but he has Koach Gadol, and he argues on Rishonim. Now, why is it, if you look at the Shach, as opposed to other Acharonim, the Shach was from Krakow. In Poland, in Arzot Ashkenaz, they didn't really have so many Sfarim. They're very limited in the Sfarim that they had. If you look at the Shach, he's always quoting tons and tons and tons of Poskim, Masha'en ken any other Poske Ashkenaz. Maran Achida, in his Sefer Shem Agdonim, if you look both, he has two Chalakim, both Sofrim and Sfarim. In Erech Sifte Kohen, which is the Shach, he writes that the Shach was Baki Bekoach Hashba'a. The Shach knew a certain name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that helped him find things in Sfarim that nobody else had, and he used those Shemot HaKodesh to get Sfarim that nobody else had, and that's why he quotes so much more than other Gdolei Ashkenaz. Now, that being said, especially for the Sfaradim, you gotta know, Bibaki Bekitve Achida. Now, by the way, one of the most enjoyable Sfarim of Maran Achida is Shem Agdolim. It tells you all the Sfarim, their historical backgrounds. If you don't know the background of Poskim, you're done. You know, sometimes, it's Machloikis Rambam and Ripshim Bayichoy. No, that doesn't work. You know, you have to know Dor Vedoreshav. Me neged me. Tannaim, Amoraim, Geonim, Sevoraim, Rishonim, Acharonim, Acharonim, Acharonim. You have to know exactly what the order of hierarchy is in order to argue. So back to the Shach. The Shach writes that everybody will agree that although in general we hold that ones, a person is Adam Mu'ad La'olam by regular nizikin, when it comes to verbal nizik, when it comes to dina de garmi, that's only bapeh, everybody agrees. Even the Ramban who holds that dina de garmi is the oraita, that chachamim hikilu alav, and if it's ones gamur, it's patur. So now, in terms of that, what are you going to tell me, Adam Mu'ad La'olam? In terms of dina de garmi, no, it was an ones and he's patur. Okay, that's one part of the equation. Part two of the equation, Rabotai. Listen very carefully. Let's try. I haven't heard anybody jump in and try to say that Mr. Jumpy Kid should be chayav anything. You think you should be chayav anything for jumping around? Yeah. What's your name?
Joe Volansky.
Baruch haba. Where are you from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Shkoyah. Yeah, go ahead.
I think you should be chayav because...
Who? Who's he?
The kid.
Okay.
Because none of this would have happened had he not been jumpy and been pushy, which was disrespectful to him.
Well, okay. Is it a crime to be ADD?
No, but I probably skip it to push through the lines. I don't think the owner would be fine with that.
Well, imagine that you're not living in a, you know, pressure cooker and there's no terrorist scares and stuff like that and somebody ran into a restaurant. In general, would that trigger anybody? That in and of itself, the fact that a kid runs into a restaurant, is that a damage?
No.
Physical? By the way, I forgot to tell you that there was damage to kelim and stuff because there were tables, all of, you know, tables were flipped over and, you know, dishes were broken. And that's, but that was the small fries. He wanted much more than that. But let's keep that in mind. Yeah. What's your name?
Benny Levy from Greenack.
Levy, L-I-V-I?
L-I-V-I.
Oh.
Gabriel.
Huh? Oh, is that good? Yeah. Awareness. It's called, they have a whole thing to awareness. What do they call it? Mindfulness. It used to be mindful. Yeah, but the kid can't control himself. You know what I'm saying? He didn't take his pills that day. Manas. Yeah, go ahead.
If you have an issue,
huh?
If you know you have ADD, and you know that your possibility of doing things like this, and you don't take your pills on purpose that day,
I'm just kidding. I don't know if he was on purpose.
If he's not, then he should be, and therefore, it's a shame if he didn't do it.
Okay. Let's say he wasn't ADD, and let's say the kid was just a little, you know, every, today, especially in the yeshiva system, the second a kid starts to be, in general, I can tell you about America, I get calls like this every day. You know, they expect kids to be like cookies. You know what cookies are? You take a cookie cutter, and you go, boom, 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 boom. Every kid has to be exactly the same. And the second they start kind of shifting from the cookie cutter mold, medicate the kid. Medication. Boom, boom, boom. Ritalin and Adderall. Whoa. Take it easy. Take it easy. You know what I'm saying? We're not into turning people into zombies. Now, there are some, but I don't know if the kid was on medication. I'm just saying. Okay? Anybody else? Yeah, what's your name? Baruch Abba. From where?
Montreal.
Moroccan? Shout out. Okay, go ahead.
Like the Rav seems to be leaning towards.
Yeah. I'm not leaning towards anything. I'm just playing with your head.
it's mashma that the kid, it's not necessarily his fault whether he's on pills, whether he's not.
Whether the kid
or not is on pills,
we
know that most kids are on pills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fair to say they're pretty jumpier. You know, they
okay.
Don't want to weigh in line. It's also subjective.
So now we've shifted away from ADD. Now we're talking about Israeli syndrome. He's just Israeli. Okay, I hear that.
It's also very subjective for that.
That's criminal, Israeli syndrome. Yeah, you know, yeah. What are you saying?
It's subjective. The guy that screamed terrorist, it's subjective that he looks like a terrorist or not. He's young.
Okay.
Why would he run in?
Yefe. I want to. What's your name, Tadi?
Adam Kirshenbaum.
Baruch Haba. From where?
Los Angeles.
Very nice. Valley or city?
City.
Nice. Pico?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, no one's fault. When you have a restaurant, have a company like that, you got to expect something to happen.
Okay.
If the guy would have never tackled him.
Oh, now we're talking about what? Insurance. Insurance doesn't cover acts of terrorism. You know that. Even Israeli insurance doesn't cover acts of God and acts of terrorism. There's no insurance for that. Hala.
Because this wasn't a terrorist.
Huh?
It was a
potential terrorist. Potential. Yeah.
I think the
Eliyahu Aharon. Yeah, okay. It's always 50-50. Okay, go ahead.
I think the owner of the store should just should he lost the money.
Yeah.
Because everyone acted the way they
should have acted. They all acted within, like without negligence.
Right. So you think the owner should just be Sfardi a little bit? Kaparat avonot. $15,000, kaparat avonot. No, that's not how Beddin works. Kaparat avonot is yafe, you know, when you're doing it at the kota. Kapara, you know, but in Beddin, so you have to know, so. Okay, Rabotai, listen, yeah, one more.
I have a question.
Talk to me.
Is there any situation in Beddin where they ever say, okay, like split bill, like compromise?
Sure.
That happens?
Yeah. So, sure. So that's what you're saying.
Maybe that. I'm just suggesting.
So
maybe
7.5.
Another suggestion of what to bring up.
That's always fair. I mean, the shayla is, what's the halakha here? Yeah, what are you saying? Name.
Shmuel Sternberg from Manhattan.
Baruch Hashem.
I think, why shouldn't the customers have to go back after the fact?
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. They're gone.
Cameras in the
store. Huh? Cameras in the store. You're going to start trekking down. Imagine the tourists, whatever.
Maybe the two guys should be trying to find out, not the owner.
We live in Olam Hazeh. You know what I'm saying? In Olam Hazeh, it's impractical to track all the people down. You're going to hire a private eye and track them down, knock on people's hotel room. Did you eat in such and such a restaurant last night? It's not happening. They're gone. If the guy's written, now I'm saying, if it was me and I found out, you know, you check the news, it wasn't a terrorist attack. You come back the next day, you say, listen, I ran out, here's my bill. But practically speaking, that's not happening. Yeah.
Let's say the owner would have gotten money in Bezian, whatever the Pesach would have been. Let's say they somehow did get it. I don't know what the Pesach is.
Okay.
Can they then go afterwards and then check the cameras and then get money from those guys also and then get double what they're supposed to?
So again, that's also very, very tricky in Bezian, because when you go to a restaurant, you're not just paying for food. You can always eat at home. In a restaurant, you're also paying for the ambiance. The ambiance, especially in America. The less light and the less food there is in the restaurant, the more expensive it is. I don't know why that is. But dim the lights, don't serve food, boom, $400 bill. That's the way it works. Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's psychological. So again, they can say, well, this thing messed up my ambiance and it messed I have, and then they can countersue for emotional damages and all sorts of stuff like that. That's not, yeah, I want to cut to the chase because I don't want to take too much time of your first seder. I want to show you another angle. There's a Shulchan Aruch, also in the same local area. Siman Shin Pe, Saif Gimal. There's a halacha that hamatzil atzmo b'mamon chavero chayav, which means, let's say the case in the Shulchan Aruch is, let's say somebody's chasing me to harm me or to kill me or whatever it is, and as he's chasing me, now I'm running away, and I'm trying to stop the guy who's chasing me. I'm the nirdaf. I'm trying to stop the rodif, the chaser. So as I'm running, I'm running by Rav Dotan's house, and I see this huge, decorative, you know, antique flower pot, and I grab it, I turn around, boom! I knock the guy out, he's incapacitated. Phew! I'm still alive. Okay? What's the halacha? Chayav o patur. I was doing it, I grabbed it, I had nothing to do with his antique flower pot, I only did it to save my life. Chayav or patur? My life was very much in danger. Chayav or patur? Maran says, chayav. Based, it's Gemara, in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet, based on a pasuk in Iyov. Ki chol asher la'ish yiten be'ad nafsho. What's the price tag on your life? On your own life. How much are you willing to pay to save your own life? Anything. Priceless. Therefore what? If Eliyahu Navi would come and stop the clock, as you're running away, would freeze the guy and say, hey, if you want to take this, you know you're going to have to pay. Would you pay for it?
Yes.
Yeah? To begin with. Not post facto. Of course you would pay for it. Therefore, you're chayav. However, there's one exception to that rule, says Manan. Let's say you're not the nirdaf. Let's say you're not the guy being chased. Let's say you're a bystander. Let's say you're watching somebody chase somebody else. Let's say you're standing on your porch or somebody else's porch or whatever it is, and you're watching this unfold. You're watching Reuven chase Shimon to kill him or to do some other terrible isur to him. Now you're watching this. You're not in your own home. I'm standing, let's say, on Rav Dotan's porch. And then same case, but it's not me. I pick up the flower pot, boom, drop it on Reuven, the chaser's head, and I knock him out. Chayav or patur? Chayav or patur, and why? Says Maran, over there you're patur. Mideoraita, you'd be chayav. But the Chachamim made a takana. The Chachamim said he's patur. You know why? Bichde shelo yimana lehatzil. Which means, if you say that I'm chayav in a situation like this, next time there's a life-threatening situation and I can do something about it using somebody else's money, what am I going to think to myself? Hey, wait a second. If I'm going to be chayav to pay, I'm not going to save his life, and then the guy's going to die. The Chachamim said, in order to allow life-threatening situations to be resolved in the future without fear of financial repercussions, the Chachamim said he's patur. Now let me ask you a question. So you understand the distinction? Whether if my life is in danger versus if somebody else's life is in danger. Now what happens if my life and somebody else's life is in danger? Now what? Chayav patur. We spoke about a situation where my life is in danger, chayav. We spoke about a situation where his life is in danger, and I step in, and I break somebody else's thing, or do nizik in order to save his life, patur. What happens if my life and his life are in danger, David? Yeah, and then I break somebody else's thing in order to save us both? Chayav or patur?
Chayav.
Yafe. Now, watch this. There's a Gemara, Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Samech Amud Bet. The Gemara says, the Gemara brings down a pasuk of David HaMelech. Now, Vayitave David Vayomer. David Mi Ashkeni Mayim. David HaMelech asked, he was at war with the Plishtim. There's a machloket. What exactly his question to the Sanhedrin was? But he asked a certain question during the war against the Plishtim to the Sanhedrin. One opinion of the Gemara is that he asked, Mahu, what happened was he realized that there were Plishtim hiding out in wheat piles of some Jewish fields. And he saw them in ambush. David HaMelech wanted to do what? He wanted to light the field on fire and kill them all. He asked the Sanhedrin, Mutar or Asur? Yeah? Says Tosfot, what's David HaMelech's question? David HaMelech was Melech Yisrael v'shofet alehim. What's his question? Of course he should know that for Sakanat Nefashot, Am Yisrael's lives were in danger. Bevadai u bevadai. Of course he can do it. Says the Tosafot on the spot. You know what his question was? Of course, in terms of Sakanat Nefashot, he could do it. His question was, if I did that, would I be chayav to pay the owner because of Matzil Atzmo b'mamon chavero? That, which means saving yourself with your friend's property. To which the Sanhedrin answered, in general, saving yourself with your friend's property is b'chayav. But over here, aval melech ata, u'melech poretz gader b'chol makom. You're a king, and a king has, there's something called eminent rule. You know what that means? A king can make new roads and take people's property, and therefore, since you're a king, you'd be patur. Says Agaon Pnei Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua Mikrakel. You know Pnei Yoshua? Yeah? You know it is a lamda sefer. It's also a halacha sefer. Watch this. The Pnei Yoshua writes on this Tosfot. Hey, wait a second. What was David HaMelech's question about Matzil Atzmo b'mamon chavero? That's only over here. He's saving Am Yisrael, isn't he? Since he's saving Am Yisrael, we know that the halacha is that when you take somebody else's property to save somebody else's life, what I just told you before, patur. So what's David HaMelech asking? Says Pnei Yoshua. You know what Tosfot's question is? Over here, David HaMelech wasn't only saving Am Yisrael's lives, he was also saving
his own.
Aha. So now we see, says the Pnei Yoshua, being Medayek from Tosfot, that over here there's a totally new dimension. When a person's own life is on the line also, then it's already not considered saving somebody else's life, it's considered saving your own life. And says the Pnei Yoshua, that's exactly what Tosfot means. Were it not for the fact that David HaMelech was a king, what would have been the halacha?
Chayav.
He would have been chayav. So says Hagaon Pnei Yoshua. Okay. Hagaon Netivot HaMishpat. Rabbi Yaakov Milisa. Loberbaum. Ever heard of him? Rabbi Yaakov Ben Yaakov, Nachon. A.K.A. the Nesivis. Yeah? Hagaon HaNesivis writes, in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Shin Mem, Saif Katan Vav Babi'urim, says the Netivot HaMishpat, also commonly known, people think the Ktzais and Nesivis, they're the kings of Lamdus. But don't forget, they're also Perushim Lahalacham, Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. Sifrei Halacha Lemaaseh, Piskei Din, on Choshen Mishpat. They weren't writing for Lamdus, they were writing for Psak Halacha. The Netivot HaMishpat writes Meforash. It brings a whole case. He writes over here that when a person, he doesn't bring the Pnei Yehoshua. He lived a little bit after the Pnei Yehoshua. He doesn't bring him over here, but he says not that way. He writes La'alacha that the only time you'd be chayav b'matzil atzmo b'mamon chavero rabotai is only when you're saving only your own life. But if you're saving your own life plus somebody else's, there's a whole discussion over there. If you're saving, as long as you're saving somebody else's life as well, the halacha is you'd still be patur. Now, very big question, according to the Netivot, how do you understand Tosfot? How do you understand how Tosfot explains David HaMelech's question to the Sanhedrin? Tzarich Iyun. Many Mefarshim ask on the Netivot, according to the Netivot's Pshat, what in the world was David HaMelech's question according to Tosfot? She'ela chazaka me'olam. But at the end of the day, you see now, we broke it down. Now you have a machloket achanonim, Pnei Yehoshua, and a tivot ha-mishpat. Let's plug it in, let's go back. In terms of the verbal damage that the person did, it was an ones, okay, he's patur from that. But let's say, now let's look at something else. When the Good Samaritan jumped up and said mechabel, he wasn't only saving the other patrons in the restaurant, he was also planning to save himself. Now, whether or not he ran towards the guy and tackled him, whatever, he did this in order to deter the what he thought was the terrorist, and he wanted to stop him. So now, what would be the halacha? Now you tell me, plug it in. According to Pnei Yehoshua, he'd be chayav. Why? Because at the end of the day, he's saving his own life as well. And therefore, in terms of matzil atzmo b'mamon chavero, when he's saving himself, he's chayav. According to the Netivot HaMishpat, what's the halacha? He'd be patur, because at the end of the day, he's saving himself. Now, what do we do in this situation? Very interesting machloket haposkim, very interesting machloket acharonim, but Maran HaShulchan Aruch doesn't weigh in. In general, when it comes to Choshen Mishpat, Maran HaShulchan Aruch is the din. Whatever he says goes. And you can't say Kimli Neged Maran, Sfaradim. If you look in Yabi Omer, anybody heard of the Yabi Omer over here? You better believe Yabi Omer. So if you look in Yabi Omer, Chilek Zayin, Choshen Mishpat, Maran Zechon Bracha speaks about the dinim of Kimli, which means sometimes Baale dinim, the litigants can say, well, I hold like this posik, and I hold like that posik. But a Sfaradi can't say Kimli against Maran HaShulchan Aruch, because it's binding. Ashkenazi, whether or not an Ashkenazi can say Kimli Keneged Ramah, when the Shulchan Aruch says otherwise, is a machloket aposkin. What happens when you have a Tovea Sfaradi and Nitba Ashkenazi, and each one is saying Kimli Kedat Maran, he says Kimli Kedat Ramah. What do you do then if they show up at the same bedding? What do you do then? Machloket aposkin, let's talk. Happens. So now, yeah, but there's no Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, they never show up in bedding together. So now, listen to this. So what do you do la halacha? Maran doesn't weigh in over here. What do you do? The halacha is that over here, who's the muhzak over here? Who's the one who's holding on to the money? Everybody agrees, la halacha, I'll tell you this way, the jumpy kid is off the hook. You can't be mechayev jumpy kid for anything, because he didn't really do any nezik. He jumped around, but there's no nezik in that, so he's off the hook. The only one who would possibly be on the hook, according to Pnei Yehoshua, is the Good Samaritan, this guy who jumped up and said mechabel. But at the end of the day, he's the muhzak. And the Baal HaBayit wants to extract money from him. This guy can say, and even if he doesn't say it, we think the guy walks into bedin with all this prepared. The dayanim have to come up with this. And there, you ever heard the expression, ta'anenan? Ta'aninon. Yeah? Ta'anenan, which means that the Gemara says, petach picha la'ilem. Even if he doesn't claim it, we claim it for him. That the guy can say, the Good Samaritan can say at the end of the day, you can't take money away from here. I hold like the Netivot. Prove to me that the Netivot is wrong, and then I'll pay you. You can't prove that the Netivot is wrong, because it's machloket haposkim. When you can't prove it, he can tie a kimli, he can claim kimli, and the money stays where it is. Like you said, Mr. Restaurant Owner has a $15,000 to $20,000 bill of kaparat avonot to deal with. And that's the halacha l'maaseh, psak halacha rabotai. Any comments? V'daya motzi l'chaviru al avraya. But kimli makes them motzi l'chaviru al avraya.
How do you define a posek now? Because if it's, let's say, you're okay, the Netivot and Pnei Yehoshua modern Acharon versus Pnei Yehoshua, he holds this way. Can you say a kimli like this guy?
Netivot's not a modern Acharon.
I know, I'm saying someone, if it wasn't Netivot. And first of all, there are kashas on the Netivot.
Well, you gotta, again, we're talking about poskim, you know, you can't, well, the Pnei Yehoshua says this, but I have a different understanding of the Talmudic passage.
Yeah. What about
the Pnei Yehoshua, Netivot HaMishpat?
It's only for you in all the Netivot.
Can he be from Dorino? Like, let's say a Gaon Rav Ben Tzal had a Pesach also. Can he be fighting with Pnei Yehoshua?
Gaon Gadol, but I don't think that he would argue on a Pnei Yehoshua that has to do with halakha. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to, you have these maskanot that have actual halakhot derived from them. If the Pnei Yehoshua has a shot in the Gemara and it's uncontested among other acharonim, so I don't think he would. I mean, I don't know him so well, but it seems bizarre to me that he would say Pnei Yehoshua holds like this, but I think like this, and therefore the halakha should be different. It doesn't. Yeah. No. Pnei Yehoshua gedolat dorot. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because at the end of the day, he was still, he did it to save himself as well. So, in terms of, you're right, it's an onus, but at the end of the day, he did it to save himself, so we don't look at onus. Yeah. What's your name?
Jan Gander.
From where? Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's not only saving himself, he's saving others. The question is, the machloket haposkim is, what's the main point? Is it the fact that you're saving yourself, or is it the fact that you're saving others as well? That's the, that seems to be the... There's no kalvachomer because there's other people in the mix here, and I still have this
too. Also himself in the mix.
You're saying the Svarat Pnei Yehoshua, Netivot Cholek Alecha, Malah. So, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, what's your name? From where?
Long Beach, New York.
Tov Tov.
Does it matter the fact that since the guy came to attack my defense, and if the terrorist had done a knife or a gun, I would have died?
Oh, Bevadai or Bevadai, what would have been the halakha? Sorry.
9:30, Thursday morning with the Rav Amar. He's shun. Yes, we have to leave here.
When are we leaving?
Huh?
What time are we leaving?
9 o'clock. 9:30?
I'll tell the boys.
What?
I'll tell the boys.
This doesn't make any sense. With all respect to you, Rav Amar is... Rav Ovadia Yosef told me, Aziz, yeah. My mamshich, not my
children.
Not involved in politics like all of you.
Oh man! I just had the nesivis. That's not political. Okay, Rabotai, just to finish up. Any other questions before we? Yeah, guys, Baba Joe. For what? So what would have been the... Let me ask you a question. What happens if Be'emet... Let's rewind the tape. If the guy was an actual terrorist, and he had, you know, a bomb or a knife or whatever, and Mr. Tackle, you know, the tight end, tackled him and saved the day, would the restaurant owner have any claim in Bedin, yes or no?
No.
Bevadai not. Yeah? Question. The whole diyun is because he wasn't.
I'm saying, but he wasn't
trying. What if the guy comes, what if the restaurant owner comes and the guy was really a terrorist and he says, you saved the day and you saved all of our lives and you're really a big hero and we'll put you a plaque and whatever, but pay me. What's halacha over there? Tikvot, what are you talking about? I saved your life. Get out of here.
He put his life in danger because he wasn't trying to save himself. The guy had a bomb, if he tackled him, he would have died himself.
Not if you tackle him before he pushes the button.
I'm saying, that's going to be taken into account. Do we take it
I mean, ultimately he's trying to save himself as well. He doesn't want to die. I'm sure he takes into consideration that he can die, but I'm sure he doesn't want to die. Yeah.
How many hours does a case like this take to
the This one was long, because you actually have to sit down and, you know, it's not, you can't shoot from the hip. You have to be matun, have matunim badin. You have to think about it and chew it over, and you have to speak among the dayanim and deliberate. And
ball,
took about... week or two to get the maskana. Yeah. I think, just let's wrap it up. Yeah, go ahead, Yaakov.
How can we draw halakha from Nach? Do we only
how do you?
How can we draw halakha from Nach? Do we only do it from Torah itself?
Oh, the Gemara does. The Gemara the Gemara and Tosfot and whatever. There's a lot of halakhot that we, all the drashot, all the mitzvot are learned out of Torah and Nevi'im also. Yeah. So, what are you saying? Four? It's a good question. Probably not, because over there, that's shot the kid and killed him, or shot the kid and wounded him.
I don't know. Either way.
Wounding Mistama, he would be Chayav. Killing him, he would be Patur, because over there, that's Mamash Ones. So in terms of Chiyuv Mita, quote unquote, you'd be, you know, you'd certainly have to do Tshuva, but for Chiyuv Mita, which we don't have anymore, you wouldn't be Chayav Mita, because that's, you're not Chayav Mita for Shfichut Damim Be'Ones. Yeah.
So, can I ask two questions?
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
One and a half.
One is, how can Beit Din say Tanin on this? Say that we assume that he holds like the Nitivot.
No, we assume. We don't assume. He can claim that he holds like the Nitivot.
But then, like, if let's say you come back in the same in a different situation, yeah, where now he's the one who's losing out money.
Okay.
Is he allowed to like change his?
Yeah, it's a different case. He can say this time I hold like the Pnei Yoshua. Or this, that, you know, that's the way it works. Unless Maran's involved. Rabotai, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor speaking to you. Have a wonderful day. Just a reminder, if anybody wants a one-on-one now with Rav Dotan, or if you want to speak to me, or whatever it is, I'll be around in the next few minutes. Go to it.